Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, May 10th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Quite an important show today. Something that I've had lingering that I've been wanting to talk about but haven't gotten around to. Actually, realizing in this moment that there was something about masks that I might have to grab because that's important that I forgot to put in the discussion today. But it's going to be specifically about the idea of genetic modification, the idea of whether or not there is something in SARS-CoV-2 that can cause genetic manipulation in your body longer than some momentary manipulation to cause one thing that then dissipates and goes away forever, which is what they ultimately want you to think. Now, this is not my opinion. It's science. And it's, in fact, the only science that I can find on this topic. And that makes it the science, does it not? And it's an important discussion. Doesn't mean that it's right or that they couldn't have made mistakes or that there's more that we should be looking at. But it's interesting that all of the things that seem to align with the counterpoints are not being discussed. In fact, being disparaged, attacked, ignored, even though it's sound, peer-reviewed science, it's very interesting today. Before we get into the show today, I keep forgetting, I want to make a quick shout out to Walk On Army out there that sent me this absolutely fantastic wall mount of The Last American Vagabond. Many of you might have been looking going, gee, that poster looks very, very even today. Well, they were very kind to send this to me out of the kindness of their hearts to support the platform, support the channel. And I just think that's an absolutely generous thing to do. And there's so many other great, amazing people out there that have sent great things, and I don't always shout them out. I mean, on that note, I mean, I've got Eerie Fairy's picture back here that I always put behind me because it makes good energy, right? There's a lot of you out there that have sent some amazing things to me, and I just want you all to know how much every single one of them mean to me. Whether or not I have the time or remember to reach out and say something means a lot to me. All of you, the letters, anything. There's so much, just an overflow or a flood of letters and support coming from everybody to the PO box and in the chat and everything. It's just, it's inspiring every single day. I believe we are making a difference. But on that note, a lot to talk about today. And we're going to talk about the discussion I referenced in the beginning in regard to the vaccines. We're going to talk about the vaccines a little bit more as usual, show you what's going on. The defenders continuing to do an excellent job keeping people up on this, as well as a lot of other people. And we'll get into some more points about that, a couple points on the masks and some other ones randomly. Of course, to start off, we're going to get into a couple of interesting, just a couple of quick notes on foreign policy, because a lot of you hopefully still know what's going on in Jerusalem. And if you haven't, I'll give you something to watch that Robert and I recently talked about. But to quickly start off, I just want us to take note of this, that whole Chinese rocket. Oh no, gee, who could have guessed that all that media hype would lead to absolutely nothing? Meanwhile, your government is building a cage around you and calling it progress, and Israelis are openly attacking Palestinians in the street. But oh, look, a rocket. You know, this is the kind, I think somebody even put that, yeah, right there. Squirrel, you know, we're so quick to, now I'm not saying that there wasn't potential risk there if this was even a genuine story, but the hype around something that has yet to happen is what they're made for. Look, how often, I mean, why isn't there hype around any number of other things that haven't happened yet that we're all reporting on? Of course, because this was bad guy China, that worked perfectly for them. But of course, on top of that, it made you scared. The world's in chaos. There's rockets falling and everything's gone. They want you to be uncertain. And also, guess what? A lot of things happened while you were focused on these rockets. Now, it's not wrong to pay attention to this stuff, but just recognize how easily they're, how willing they are to lie to you. We talked about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in the show a hell of a lot. Any number of stories that they're telling you, legally speaking, could be absolutely false if the government reached out and said, we need you to do this for national security. I've gone into this so many times. If you're interested, we've written about it in The Last American Vagabond. Just look up the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. The Smith-Mundt Act stopped propaganda to be used on American citizens, even though that still happened anyway. They modernized it to legalize propagandizing you. Yes, that's exactly what happened for national security. So that story we saw last night, like this rocket story, not last night, but whenever, could be absolutely made up and fake because they deem national security. Think about that as we go through a lot of other things. Here's another interesting story that Whitney shared with me. We were actually going to try to connect today, but we will be connecting on this topic and a lot of other things. As I said, she's just kind of going through a rough time right now, but we're going to be talking about Whitney called this stuff. I mean, like, it's just so funny to me in a macabre way how these things have been. I mean, there's a lot of people right now that are plucking out things that she talked about 8 months ago and acting like they just breaking news. You know, it's happening all over the time, all over the place. This is a story. I was going to play it, but you know what? This is a clip on NBC where they're basically saying that this whole, we've all heard about this hack. They claim a hack on the pipeline. It's now suddenly, oh no, gas is no longer there. Weird how that works with everything else that's happening. But it's this whole clip is like, it's as if a bunch of politicians got together and decided what they thought hackers would do and look like. That's what this feels like. A bunch of old men that don't know what they're talking about, representing something in a ridiculous way. It's like we're watching a TV series about hackers. That's what this feels like. But you know what? Take your own perceptions of this, your own, you know, stock of what this is. But when you watch through this, guess what? Oh, cyber reason. Weird. Cyber Reason, of course, is the group that's involved here and that they're pointing to somebody that, oh, look, they didn't attack any Soviet eras. Wink, wink. Right. They all pick up on these cues. And this is meant to drive a narrative, whether or not this was a real attack. Frankly, my opinion, and this is based just on the way I feel, I do not think this is really what's happening. I just don't. But we will dig into the actual material and sources and discuss the data and the facts around this when Whitney and I connect. But just be skeptical, guys. Everything that's happening right here. And also note that this seems to connect all the points we keep telling you, right? They're already pointing back to domestic entities and they're talking about, you know, this hacker groups working from within that are working potentially with foreign entities that are attacking the infrastructure, which means we have to build the Internet of Things and the Great Reset to stop all this. And it's all converging in the same direction. Now we're all domestic terrorists working with foreign entities, right? And we're a threat to both this and also vaccine infrastructure, right? It's so easy to tie this stuff together. Just keep in mind that this story is rife with trust us, which is always the thing you should be watching out for. Now, this is the daily wrap-up, especially we did just yesterday about what's going on, what's really happening in Jerusalem with Robert and Lakesh. This is a horrific situation, and it is an open act. These are open war crimes taking place that your governments don't care about. As I said, first of all, if you want to go through this and watch, it's a good lead up to what is happening now. But if you want to know what's going on right now, again, I recommend you check out Robert's feed, as well as plenty of other people that are currently reporting on this. As we started off with the other day, this is in a mosque, Al-Aqsa, where people are being shot, 163 Palestinians injured. They're worshiping in a mosque and they rush in and shoot people. And that's not a crime. I don't see a single gun in the hand of any of those worshipers, but let's pretend like they were fighting back. Right. This is a constant reality. That doesn't mean that there aren't people fighting back. Trust me, there are. But also remember, as I say in my tweet here, if the UN maintains this is an illegal occupation, which it does, and that means the occupied nation has a legal right to armed rebellion, which the UN regularly states or has regularly in the past stated, it's the truth, then there is no argument here. This is not only illegal, it's an Israeli war crime. Israeli government war crime, didn't have space to fit that, which I always do, try to. Western governments are perfectly okay with that. Remember that. And this is under a tweet where he's saying Gaza's under attack. Israeli airstrikes have killed 20 Palestinians, including 9 children, and injured 65. Confirmed by Gaza's health ministry, right? And this is confirmed by Israeli side too. They are attacking Gaza right now. And these are civilians in a place where they're not allowed to leave. That have control, electricity that's controlled by the Israeli government, water controlled by the Israeli government. Let's pretend like they have agency of any kind. They're firing rockets into a barrel and pretending like this is justified. It's sickening to me. 9 children. But anyway, because we went over this yesterday a lot, and I really hope you'll take the time to understand how illegal this is and how illegal or rogue that makes your governments that don't care. But let's go really quickly over some of the most recent things that he's reporting on as of today. From last night into today, Gaza's under attack. Israeli airstrikes target a group of innocent civilians reporting killing 4, including 3 children. On top of what we were just talking about. If you want to look at the pictures, feel free. This happens all the time. You think that child had anything to do with what they're claiming is happening in Jerusalem? Did you think that all of Palestine have everything to do with it? So they're going to shut off passageways that affect every Palestinian, which is collective punishment? No. Now, this says contradictory reports are now exactly how the fire started, which I believe was at the mosque. Yep, I was reading this morning. Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, according to local media, was set afire. 300 people injured, plus 9 Palestinians killed, 3 women, 3 children, and an airstrike. That's separate. But so this is how it started. Ultimately, hard to say. Now, one thing I pointed out yesterday, which is very interesting, is the prophecy around all of this and how a lot of Israeli Jews want to see this destroyed and rebuilt for something different. So it's just kind of strange to see this happening when we lit. This was one of the things I asked about and called yesterday, like a wayward rocket, which I'm concerned about things like this. Now, see, these are blurred out because these are horrifying pictures. The aftermath of an Israeli airstrike on Beit Hanun. 9 civilians, including 3 children, right? These are airstrikes. See, I got to be careful because even though it's blurred and even though the government, your government supports this, if I show a blurred picture of these things, they'll probably move like it matters anyway, remove these videos. But is this, how would you possibly justify 9 civilians killed, 3 children in an open air prison where they're not allowed to leave, even though we can't argue that any of these people were involved with anything that's happening? I mean, are we really going to pretend these are all terrorists? I mean, let's just say Palestine doesn't exist too, because these are all the ignorant statements of people that are dying. I don't mean like real world physically. I mean, ideologically, they are dying. They are losing control. And that's why they're lashing out. This is a scared animal in a corner, in my opinion. Have killed 20 Palestinians, including 9 children. It continues, right? This is 5 hours ago. They're continuing. Al-Aqsa site burns. Settlers are caught on video celebrating. Of course they are, right? This is the point, because this is a positive thing in their eyes, even though people are dying. Not everyone everywhere, but the people we're pointing to and the people that believe this should happen. Israeli airstrikes have just killed 20 civilians, including 9 children, and it's still ongoing. Still ongoing. So please, please follow what's happening, because your governments and your media that are controlled by those governments don't want you to see any of this. At most, you will see rocket fire to Israel. That's what you will see. And that's it. What about the children that were killed? What about everything else? Mainstream media? Apparently, they don't care in between all of their bleeding about how much they care about children's lives and vaccines and everything else. Well, I guess only certain kinds of children. And even then, that's not even true when you understand the vaccine narrative, which we'll get into today. Now, going into this discussion, to start off with something I find to be very important. Thank you. I hope I included it. Yes. Okay. Free Julian Assange. Emma. I was going to blank on her name. Emma. Good journalist. Good person. Sharing this. Thank you for sharing this, was my point, because this is actually pretty incredible. And all it is just taking note of their, you know, quiet notification on the site that probably most people that are critical of this would need to be looking at. COVID-19 breakthrough case investigations and reporting. So we know, if you don't know, the breakthrough case investigation, which is just a new name for meaning they got sick from COVID, so we're told, after the vaccine, right? So we can't just be like, oh, look, the vaccine's not working. We have to make up some new category about some weird, rare thing, even though it's very clearly statistically not rare at all. Israel was very early on showing you hundreds of people that got sick right afterward. They just don't want you to see the full picture, as usual. But whether it's rare or not, this is the interesting point. And it's, in my opinion, based on the data, it's not. But the point is, either way, this is a very telling reality that they're gaming the information and the way that they do this. So one looks good and one looks bad. Exactly like I showed you, and I'll show you that document again in regard to the cycle threshold they're using for breakthrough cases. It reads, as previously announced, CDC is transitioning to reporting only patients with COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infection that were hospitalized or died to help maximize the quality of data collected on cases of greatest clinical and public health importance. Right, right. Okay, so somebody who gets a so-called vaccine breakthrough infection but doesn't get hospitalized or dies doesn't get recorded. Because that seems the same as COVID-19 issues, we're being told, right? No, they say anything. You could be perfectly fine with no symptoms and just have a PCR test, and we're going to keep you on record, and we're going to scream on the news about all the new cases today. And then if you die in a motorcycle accident in 20 days, well, we're going to count that as a death too. That's all been admitted openly and discussed. But here we are with the ones showing you after vaccination, where they're going to say, okay, well, we're only going to count the ones where they get very sick in the hospital or die. And even then, how much you want to bet if they get very sick in the hospital and then they find out that, oh, well, they actually have pneumonia. Do you think they're going to count that? I can promise you they won't. It's going to be like, oh, well, pneumonia. It's not actually COVID. Well, COVID, they are playing this completely opposite. These are double standards. And it is painfully obvious. This is the other document I was talking about, where this is the FDA document. I have a screenshot of it so you can see it, or, you know, so this is the document here, COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough case investigation on the cdc.gov website. As always, all the links I talk show about, or even things I briefly mention, are listed in the links below the show in chronological order. It says, clinical specimens for sequencing should have RT-PCR, the PCR test, which we're all familiar with, a cycle threshold, it's real time is what RT stands for, cycle threshold value of under 28. Now, understandable, if you actually dig into this and you'll find some of the experts that are actually speaking honest about this, they'll tell you that this should be below 20. But that's for another day discussion, right? That's it's just incredible how far over this has been, and they all know this from the very beginning. But they're telling you that only with breakthrough cases, which is what this is about, breakthrough case investigation, that it should be under 28. But they're still allowing right now over 40 or up to 40 for cases before the vaccine. Isn't that quite telling? Should have grabbed that one too. I did this really quickly before, but all these links have been shown to you 100 times on this show. What was it? It would have been instructions for use. I'm not wasting time, but if you guys remember the past shows, there it is. Got it. So if this weirdly doesn't like load the first time, so if you look at the, remember, and this was the one we already talked about in the past, where they said the WHO and the FDA said, you have to look at the instructions for use, because we need to make sure that we're not making mistakes, basically, is what the whole point was. But if you go down to this information and you look quite clearly at what they're still allowing, even after they're telling people to continue looking at the instructions for use, they're allowing up to 40 cycle threshold. It's a guarantee that you're going to continue to go up until you find that this is the problem. So my point, get this in order up here so I remember to include it. If they're telling you over up to 40 for people who are currently sick or before vaccine, and under 28 for people that after the vaccine, how do you not read that as the obvious thing that it shows you? There's not a different, it's the same concept. They're making sure that they don't have the same, this shows me something clearly. This is my opinion. This very clearly suggests, let's put it that way, that they are making sure they use this the right way, that they use this and to create an illusion that they could lean into. And the other side, the same way. Well, we don't want them to look at the vaccine in a negative way, so we're going to taper this down a bit, right? So then, again, factor that in with the concept that they're telling you, we're not going to even count or even tell you about people who don't go to the hospital or die, which is the vast majority of COVID-19 cases within their narrative. Think about that. These people are criminals. Let's just say the people at the top of this who made this choice knowing they were deceiving you. What about all the doctors out there? What about all the scientists? They must be like, what? That doesn't even make sense. So you're clearly just arbitrarily picking a different cycle threshold. It doesn't make sense to anybody honest. So anybody out there who's not saying this and ignoring this reality either doesn't know about it or is not somebody you should be trusting. Pretty damn crazy to me. But going over to the vaccine discussion before we get into the important part of this, which will be the latter half of the show for those that are waiting to hear the part about the genetic manipulation. This is crazy. FDA authorizes Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use in 12 to 15 year olds. Emergency use, right? So this is the important reality, especially as we discuss these manipulations that keep the idea of what we're supposed to think is an emergency going, right? Based on the data from the U.S. government and their previous discussions of what constitutes a pandemic, we are literally, verifiably not in a pandemic. As the U.K. in March of 2020 can say that this is no longer a high consequence infectious disease, we are not in an emergency. But the fact that we're under an emergency declaration is the only reason these are allowed to be used. And I'll show you that in a minute. But as I said, to authorize something for emergency use, which is what this is, for children, there must be a demonstrable risk that is perceived to outweigh the potential risks of the unapproved product. Or you could argue, say, you can say the same thing about the product. The product's benefits are supposed to outweigh the perceived risks. That aside, kids have a 0% risk from COVID-19, according to the CDC. No one's challenging this because it's true. And even Canada says the same thing. Under 19, 0% statistically, zero. Anyone care to explain that to me? How they can have a 0% risk, but and the only way they can justify giving this to children is if you can claim that there's a demonstrable risk that outweighs the potential. This is ridiculous. This is my point about why people are just choosing to ignore the obvious contradictions because they're brainwashed or part of some vaccine dogma gospel situation where they're just trusting the you know, this is like ideologues. They're just listening to people tell them what to think, and they march because they have faith in the vaccine system. 0% risk. And this is a vaccine where we're talking Pfizer. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of reported issues of blood clots, of all sorts of things that, by the way, have been proven. Even the U.S. government is acknowledging what they're calling vaccine-induced thrombosis thrombocytopenia, VITT, which means that it caused it. And we've already proven that thrombocytopenia has led to blood clots, which has led to strokes, death, heart attack, and killed people. So by definition, this is dangerous, which means it can cause danger or will cause danger or some variation thereof. But the simple fact that it can cause danger means it's dangerous by definition. This is pretty disgusting. And here our governments are rushing this out and saying, we're going to give this to children, even though they don't need it and they're not at risk. The two-dose vaccine had been authorized for those as young as 16. After clinical trials and research, so first of all, recognize that means that's still happening, which is so obvious to anybody even remotely paying attention. But there's plenty of people out there that are still screaming that there's studies are over, and I'll debunk that again in a minute. After clinical trials and research, which means they continue to do this after they were already administering it to people, which should piss you off, in those aged 12 to 15. So they're testing on people that they're admitting have a 0% chance and no risk, according to the CDC. I still don't understand why anybody accepts that. The pharmaceutical company asked the FDA to expand their emergency use authorization to allow the vaccine to be used in younger teens, right? So this is the point. They're not saying this is they're expanding the emergency use. For children, right? So to do that, they have to prove this to the FDA. They have to go to them and show the things we're talking about. They have to show that this is the case. They're not doing that. The emergency use authorization, which we just went over in the other show, is quite clear. And I'll show you that as we get to the FDA document in a minute, which they just updated today, or they finally updated the tag that says revised on May 10th. You need to prove that there's not that the risk outweighs the benefits in regard to the product, which we don't know the full risk because they're still testing, which is an obvious point. And the fact that the risk for them is zero on the other side of it from COVID, as well as the fact that there's plenty of other products that are viable and show efficacy. And none of those things are being considered, which is why this whole thing is illegal. That's why they're continuing to authorize more vaccines under emergency use instead of approve these things. But this is what we're seeing. More testing. Right. So as they're continuing to go, get it in kids' arms because emergency. EU regulators call on Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca for more data on heart inflammation and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Right. So let's keep experimenting to find out whether or not these things are happening while we're rushing to get this thing in kids' arms. It says EU regulators Friday called on Pfizer and Moderna to provide additional data related to the company's COVID vaccines and a potential link to heart inflammation, which, by the way, we've seen a lot of reports of. That clearly ties back to the same points we've been discussing. Dr. Bhakti's discussed this, or just the simple concept of the thrombosis or thrombocytopenia. The inflammation is a very obvious aspect. And by the way, add to that, that a lot of other things they're doing are causing inflammation in your body, such as the fact that the mask is creating the same concept, especially because it leads to gum disease, leads to bacterial pneumonia, which leads to overall oral thrush, everything else, overall to systemic inflammation. Right. So it's very odd that it all seems to be leading in the same direction. But it says after the agency completed a safety review of all four COVID vaccines authorized for emergency use. Another safety review after they've been authorized for emergency use. And we still haven't even seen approval. This is a game that's being played, seeing how long we'll pay attention, because they'll just march forward with the EUA emergency use if we stop paying attention. The European Medicines Agency Safety Committee also asked AstraZeneca for data related to reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which has been a constant throughout vaccine history. Whether we're talking swine flu in different situations, the 76 swine flu caused all sorts of Guillain-Barré syndrome in people who received the AstraZeneca vaccine, and they recommended Pfizer and Johnson update their labels with side effect warnings. Did you hear that? This is the European Medicines Agency telling these vaccines that they have to update their labels with side effect warnings. You mean those side effects that don't exist, that the mainstream media continue to downplay, but now they're going to tell them they have to put labels on the vaccines? Clearly, can we not see that we are being deceived here? That even the medical agencies and the companies themselves are beginning to get uncomfortable with how much dishonesty is around this whole thing? Somebody after this is going to get run through. They are going to get strung up. It's going to happen because somebody is going to have to be pointed to when one of these things explode. It's going to be, there's so many deceptions. Now, I'll show you more about that in the FDA document because they continue to add things. And I think it's because they know that if any one of these people wanted to just do their due diligence, despite screaming about what the media says, they would quickly realize that I'm being deceived. Now, if that happens at a large scale, or happens with something important, we could see something happen. In a report issued May 7th, they disclosed its members were aware of cases of myocarditis. This is, we're talking PR, that was the, so that's again, the European Medicines Agency's Safety Committee, which is PRAC, disclosed its members were aware of cases of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, and pericarditis following Pfizer vaccination. Regulators said they didn't see an indication the vaccine caused the cases, which, by the way, doesn't mean we know one way or the other. It means we don't know. We don't see an indication it caused it, but we don't know it doesn't. But of course, when you don't see an indication, the media says it's not there. Fake news. Because that's really objective, right? But as a prevention, they requested Pfizer provide further data, including an analysis of events according to the age and gender in its next pandemic summary safety report, and will consider if any other regulatory action is needed. Okay. So at this moment, historically speaking, when this kind of thing happens, that's when they pause the vaccine. Not going to happen today, though, because the vaccine is the only thing that matters right now. So when they find out, well, there might be an issue here. So you mean this could be very dangerous and cause dangerous things and we should look into it? Yeah. So let's look into it. They're making them look into it. And that's when you would go, okay, pause. Because if we don't know, we shouldn't be giving this to people. They don't care about that today. Because Moderna and Pfizer use the same mRNA technology for their vaccines, the committee asked Moderna to monitor for similar cases. Because you know what? We've seen equal reports. I think it's because of the technology and the spike protein that they both utilize. Myocarditis or inflammation of the heart muscle can lead to cardiac arrhythmia or death. Pericarditis is inflammation of the membrane around the heart. Right? Clearly something fishy is going on. A search in the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS, revealed 213 cases of both of the, of pericarditis and myocarditis reported in the U.S. following COVID vaccination. April 27th, Reuters reported the U.S. Department of Defense was investigating 14 cases of heart inflammation among people who were vaccinated through the military's health service. So isn't it funny how the DOD can actually be investigating 14 cases in the military, but we can have 213 reported and they don't do anything? They claim they are, right? Somebody out there needs to take the time as a researcher, investigator, and actually find out if they, I don't even know if that's possible because you don't have personal information, but the idea that any one of these people are being like talked to, discussed, interviewed, or if they're dead, they're doing autopsies and medical reports for hundreds of thousands of people that are continuing to pile up. It's not happening. I keep saying this. The resources are not there. And by the way, it's already been admitted to. They simply do not have the capability of doing what they're pretending they're doing, or more so what they allow the media to say they're doing when they're not. But states are turning down hundreds of thousands of these vaccine doses. Why? Because they know what's happening, or at the very least, they're concerned, unsure. But isn't that weird how the media doesn't report that? Isn't it weird that how all they do is point to these states are putting you all at risk because they're objective, right? It's not like they are. No, they're selling you a narrative, which is vaccine at all costs because we're all going to die. That is whether that's a health issue or whatever else, it is still taking a political stance. They are choosing to side with the people that they should be holding to account. They're not. Whether that's Big Pharma, the government, or anybody else, the media is the one driving this agenda. Think about how weird that is. Not weird because it's common with what they are, but weird with what they tell us they're supposed to be doing. Shouldn't they be investigating the government and finding out whether the vaccines are what they say and showing you the data and breaking it down? That's what a journalist would do. That's what actual journalists are doing today as they get disparaged, dismissed, and attacked everywhere. But it says several states are turning away COVID vaccine doses from their federal government allocations. And it's weird, right? Because that's not what Biden's pretending is happening. It's not what many of them are pretending. Pretending that it's all flying off the shelves and we're all going to do blah, blah, blah. It's not happening because this is the reality that easily 60% or more of Americans are refusing this thing. Last I checked, it was 7 out of 10, but I'm sure it's increasing to a degree. It says, as the daily average of coronavirus vaccine doses administered across the United States has fallen below 2 million for the first time since early March, experts say the state's smaller requests reflect a steep drop in vaccine demand in the United States. This is from the New York Times reporting this directly. But why is it that Fox News and CNN aren't giving you the same information? Wisconsin officials, which is where the vast majority of normies get their information from, Wisconsin officials have asked for just 8% of the 162,000 doses the federal government had set aside for the state next week. According to the Associated Press, this is. Now, in Iowa, officials asked for just 29%. Illinois, 9%. Now, what's interesting is this, North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington State, Connecticut are also scaling back. Now, some of these are places you wouldn't expect. Like if you want to play into the two-party illusion, these are some of these, they're not all one side or the other. There's a lot of these people. This is what I keep trying to show you. The reality and the skepticism of what's happening today is bipartisan. As much as they are desperate to not let you see that. How can you possibly have 70% of the country refusing this and pretend that that's only one side, even though there's not only two sides, which is the childish, naive illusion they put on people today. But the point here is that they're refusing this thing. They do not want it. Now, this is more than just that, just not wanting the vaccine as well, because think about how many doses they're sending out. The plan is to continue this. And you could do the math based on the doses we currently have. Why would we have more than what you think? Why would we have more than two for every American and a little bit over the top? Because the plan has always been to keep this going, which is now being made very clear. I mean, they've already said this, booster shots every 6 months, but the EU government has made that very clear. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to show you some of these side effects. Woman rushed to the hospital after J&J vaccine. Quote, my face was drooping to the right. I was losing feeling in my right arm and my leg as well. Sounds like a blood clot to me. My speech was extremely slurred. Now at home, she tells that she must still use a walker after the J&J vaccine. You know, that one that they paused because they pretended to look into it and then put it right back to use. Clearly it's doing well. This is from Doctors for COVID Ethics. Appreciate the post. Here's a sad story. Now, this is a woman on YouTube who posted a video, got your vaccination, head to Krispy Kreme.
It is funny, in my opinion. But hey, if you have a vaccination, you might as well get a free donut.
Right? Why not? Why not get your vaccinated and have your donut, you know? And this is actually a really, really, really sad story. And this is the kind of thing that I always keep telling people is there's no room for laughing about something like this. Just period. Because this is not something that's funny. Now, you could recognize the irony of something like this happening, but laughing about it is the wrong response. This is on March 26th, 2021. Here is May 3rd, 2021. I had a miscarriage, right? So there's the sad reality here is that there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't even connect these things. And I'm not saying I can prove that they're connected. It could be completely random. But we know that we're seeing this. There's been a lot of reports. So it's just sad that people will not even take the time to ask themselves, could this be that experimental thing I just put in my body? And I don't know why that wouldn't be the first thing you would think about. As Jonathan points out, he's playing a clip here from The Last American Vagabond at the Daily Wrap-Up. I think this was maybe what I quoted, what I said in the show. What if everyone gets vaccinated? What suddenly takes the risk away? He's still at risk after he's gotten the vaccine. So if we're all vaccinated, aren't we all still at risk? Right? Exactly. And he says, amazing questions to completely dismantle the COVID illusion. I just want us to think about this again, right? If you're at risk right now, and they're telling you, you have a vaccine, but you're still at risk. How does that change? And remember, you're still at risk and you can still spread and catch it. So if everyone gets the vaccine and everyone can still spread and catch it, you're all still at risk, according to their statements. It doesn't make any sense. But they just keep driving in that square peg into the round hole and people are just going along with it. It's really incredible. Now, this is the important part about the actual study that we are currently in. Thank you, Spartan Charts, for pointing this out. He says, the problem is these trials are all still ongoing according to the EMA. Phase one is still ongoing. The real world study to, quote, evaluate mRNA-1273 effectiveness and long-term effectiveness in the U.S. won't be completed until 2025. Now, here are the documents. I'll show you the actual page itself, as I always do, where you can clearly see study type, safety, and immunogenicity. milestones. Now, you know, this isn't like the other documents. They always claim, oh, they get to go until then. No, that's not. If they finish earlier, it's okay. I don't even know why that makes sense to anybody. But just look very closely. What it says: interim final report. Final report, November 2022. Okay, so if you're testing. And again, pharmacovigilance act. This is about the monitoring, right? This is what we keep telling you about. And this is Moderna, mRNA, 1273. That's the Moderna vaccine. 2022. You're still being tested on. By the way, I'll verify that even further once we get to the FDA document, because people are not going to be people right now who don't want to believe this. No. This is what somebody said this on Twitter, and that's what it must be, because I don't want to embrace the obvious reality of the source material that shows it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Here is the same thing. Phase two, ongoing, March 2021. Final. Right? I'll show you right now the actual document. These are all the different vaccines. You can see them. You can see, and you go down each one. November 2022. Let me go through them, and I'll scroll to the top so you can confirm this is the correct one. But going further down, mRNA. This is, and these are different. This is risk management plan, right? But they're all shot. No, this is November 2021, right? So even that's reasonably close, but we're still talking about currently doing these things. mRNA, and this one was, let's see. Oh, it's actually listing it right here specifically. Long-term safety, final 2022. But let's skip down to the next ones as well. We have, where were they? I don't want to take too long on this, but I want to show you the other ones as well. Here we go. I just had this. I knew I should have broke this up into different screens. It's always difficult. In any case, you can go through these for yourself. It shows the other ones as well. Discusses at the very least. But the point is, all of these are discussing final reports after where we currently are. All of them. They can be done. Was this the other one right here? No, this is the post-authorization safety SARS-CoV-2 vaccine in the U.S., active surveillance. And you see final report, 2023. But in any case, I recommend you take the time to dig through this for yourself, as I always say, because it's more important that you understand this. This is from the Europa.eu website, COVID-19 mRNA vaccine risk management. Ridiculous. But on top of that, here is the obvious reality that this is not going to end just because people get this first vaccine, or both of them, if that's the one you're taking. Hopefully none of them. This is from a European website. COVID-19 EU orders 1.8 billion vaccines from Pfizer until 2023. President of the European Commission assured vaccination is progressing well. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen on Saturday announced a new contract to purchase up to 1.8 billion doses of anti-COVID vaccines. Anti-COVID vaccines? Weird. You know, this is a translation, so that might be a weird translation. But it says, from BioNTech and Pfizer, a message posted on Twitter, and this is her tweet right here. The contract includes the firm order for 900 million doses and an option for another 900 million. Think about how crazy that is. Think about how many, you know, this is way over the needed amount. And there's a reason for that. It says the new delivery is scheduled for this year and until 2023. So if you're under any illusion that these vaccines won't be coerced into your life into 2023 and probably well past that, there's your answer. They're already ordering these and planning to order them all the way until 2023. And it says notably make it possible to, quote, adapt to new variants of the coronavirus. How does that even make sense? Why does ordering the exact same thing 900 million times in any way make it possible to adapt to new variants? Doesn't at all. That's actually a ridiculous statement. But it also says to, quote, vaccinate children and adolescents. You know, those people that are verifiably with 0% risk. But we're going to push this thing on them that is not 0% risk for anybody. That's interesting. Where she says, happy to announce they've just approved the contract for 900 million doses. It says, quote, other contracts and other vaccine technologies will follow. Right. So this is not stopping. This is not a secret. The mRNA platform and the way they're building this out and the new technology, which is probably what she's meaning to say right there, that this new platform will make it so we don't need to even safety test. We can make one vaccine and that will be new. And for every new variant, we'll just apply the new code and print it out. And that's the reality of what we're doing. To all, it says, that was actually not meant to be highlighted. But here is, speaking of that point about the, you know, universal coronavirus vaccine, which is clearly another conspiracy theory until it is literally being discussed. New vaccine blocks COVID-19 and variants plus other coronaviruses. Whitney shared this with me today. A potential new vaccine developed by members of Duke Human Vaccine Institute, very crazy name, which she points out works constantly with DARPA, has proven effective in protecting monkeys and mice from a variety of coronavirus infections, including SARS-CoV-2, as well as the original SARS-CoV-1 and related bat coronaviruses that help potentially cause, could potentially cause the next pandemic. So it's all a bunch of guessing and hypotheticals, but the reality is they're saying, well, this thing has effect, but it says effective in protecting them. Now they keep saying blocking, but until I want to see some actual data, and if they're just playing the you know, like they're saying today, oh, this protects you 97%. No, it doesn't. It, you claim that it reduces your symptoms, mild symptoms, to 97% of the time. Not even close to the same thing. Just look up the definition of protection. That's not what that means. It's absurd. But going forward, the new vaccine called a pan coronavirus vaccine. Right. So it just works for everything. That's ultimately what that's supposed to mean. Like a panware, like the classic, it's something that can turn into anything. But it says triggers neutralizing antibodies via, guess what? A nanoparticle. Who didn't see that coming? Right? Because it's not like they told us in 2002 that they were going to alter evolution using nanotechnology in 20 years, which is exactly right now, you know, or between now and 2022, because that doesn't make any sense. If you don't know what I'm referencing, for those that want to see it, this is the Converging Technologies document for improving human performance, 2002, where they talk about combining these things, you know, merging your biotechnology, your nanotechnology, your cognitive information, and your information technology, and combining all those things, whether or not you want it, the integration and synergy of four technologies. Just like Klaus Schwab tells you, well, we're going to blend these things for your future, whether or not it's for your best interest.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
I also played you the clip from 2016 in French, where Klaus Schwab is openly talking about it in 2016, saying, well, yeah, we'll start with wearables on your body, and then eventually brain chips, and then, you know, being able to communicate with the integration and the cloud and everybody else, right? Totally normal back in 2016. Now it's fake news, though. Now it doesn't exist, even though we're as close as ever, because that's literally what's happening right now in regard to the technological direction, right? Not to say that that's currently what's being put in things or whatever else, but right now, this isn't an open secret. This is what they are all, you read this document, they're not even mincing words. We're talking about implantables and microchips and all of this stuff. And yet you talk about this and people act like you're a lunatic today. Think about how ridiculous that is. In any case, that's one that you should read. I've done entire shows on this, but going back. Now, this is talking about something with a nanoparticle, the nanotechnology, which will alter our evolution in 20 years. Remember the COVID vaccine is discussing the lipid nanoparticle, which encapsulates the instructions for building the spike protein or whatever the whole, it's constant that this is being jammed through, shoehorned into every walk of life right now. The nanoparticle is composed of the coronavirus part. It's weird how they almost intentionally try to avoid saying spike protein that allows it to bind to the body's cell receptors. I believe we're talking about the spike protein, and is formulated with a chemical booster called an adjuvant. Success in primates is highly relevant to humans. The findings appear, where it says, we began this work last spring with the understanding that all viruses, mutations would occur in the SARS, like all viruses, mutations would occur in the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which causes COVID-19. Wasn't that funny that this all came out and they rushed out these experimental injections and then were like, oh, variants, uh-oh. It's like, we all knew that, like he said, like all viruses, that this would be an obvious thing that would happen. But this whole narrative has been as if we're reinventing every part of this whole health scenario, acting like new things that were surprised, even though we've always talked about it, things like this. But it goes on to say, the mRNA vaccines were already under development, so we were looking for ways to sustain their efficacy once those variants appeared. Right, so this is clearly integrated with the mRNA discussion, and using it's leading towards this same platform that can be adapted to new variants. It's the same concept. right? So it's not a coincidence these things are finding a common direction. It says, quote, this approach, oh, and by the way, on that saying that we were working on these under development for years, the mRNA vaccines, again, realize that that means nothing in regard to how fast the safety testing can be done or shouldn't be done. They're all arguing that we've been working on these for 20 years and that's why it was so fast. That doesn't mean anything. The technology, that's like saying that because we've had vaccines for however many years that's been, the vaccine technology has been around, that because there's a new thing that comes out today, that we can just pump these out in 2 days. No, it's a new thing and hence it needs new safety testing. So what we did is we used the technology that we're clearly trying to drive through for any other reason. And they rushed through safety testing to get this in your arm as fast as possible. That's obvious. They just lie to you. And the data is there to look at. They know that you can look at it. They think you're too dumb to do so. Prove them wrong. Now, it goes on to say, this approach not only provided protection against SARS-CoV-2, but the antibodies induced by the vaccine also neutralized variants of concern that originated in the UK, South Africa, Brazil. So some of them, apparently. And the induced antibodies reacted with quite a large panel of coronaviruses. So clearly, they're continuing that not everything. Some is the point. So how exactly does that apply to everything? That's what they want you to read this as. They found a person who had been infected with SARS developed antibodies capable of neutralizing multiple coronaviruses, suggesting that a pan-coronavirus might be possible. Funny how the title says quite a more certain thing, doesn't it? But the idea is, of course you have these antibodies. Just like we talked about the cold, this is not a new discussion. Like they're saying, we found somebody with SARS that had antibodies capable of neutralizing multiple things. This has been an open discussion for a long time. If you've got the cold and you might have antibodies that stop coronavirus. It says the Achilles heel for the coronaviruses is their receptor binding domain located on the spike. Shocking. That links the viruses to receptors in human cells. And we'll get into spike protein right after this because that is, well, technically the latter half. Along with the genetic manipulation discussion, the research team identified one particular receptor binding domain site that is presented on SARS-CoV-2, its circulating variants, and SARS-related bat viruses that make them highly vulnerable to cross-neutralizing antibodies. The team then designed, of course, instead of going, well, we could make something that would work on this with everything we've always been doing and things that we know are have efficacy, but no, they said, we're going to design a new nanoparticle. That makes sense because that's exactly what we know will work. No, this is new experimental stuff. And instead of going, let's use what we know can work because people are dying, that's their narrative, they just say, well, here's this dangerous thing. Let's create something new. Does that sound like the path? No, this is about into innovation in a direction that they've always been driving. And now this gives them the excuse to just keep pushing it as hard as possible. All of it. They designed a nanoparticle displaying the vulnerable spot. The nanoparticle is combined with a small molecule adjuvant, specifically the toll-like receptor 7 and 8 agonist called M3M052, which I did a little look into today. I recommend you all do as well, formulated with alum, which, by the way, contains aluminum, or at the very least, as I understand it, is aluminum with something else. So I don't, for those that know more than me out there, if it has any of it, I find it to be a problem. But it says, which was developed by 3M of all people, the people that make the masks, and the Infectious Disease Research Institute. The adjuvant boosts the body's immune response. In tests of its effect on monkeys, while we're saying that, here was the thing, something I looked up, look into this really quickly. There's a few of them I read, but just on a side note, technically, because this doesn't really specifically relate, I found this to be very telling. Now, this was posted. I pulled that down. So now there it is, June 2020. Here's what it says. A fundamental challenge in vaccinology is learning how to induce durable antibody responses. Live viral vaccines, like the ones we've been using up until now, so they claim, induce antibody responses that last a lifetime. But those induced with subnuate vaccines, like we're talking about now, or the ones we're currently using, wane rapidly. Well, isn't that interesting? It's almost like they chose to use the technology that would wane rapidly instead of the ones that can last a lifetime. Isn't that telling? I just found that to be quite interesting. And remember, as I keep trying to show you, in January 26th of 2021, the NIH themselves admitted lasting immunity found after regular recovery from COVID-19. Lasting immunity memory after vaccination, or say they hope that they said it hopes, right? This is the best part. They hope because of this finding, I can't that singly. There we go. That people recovering from this, that the vaccines will also do that. Why is that even connected? So because people recover from this, do you think it's the point is they're just trying to shoehorn in their own narrative? Like, well, it probably works for vaccines too. The point is that they're already telling you, we don't know if it works for vaccines. We don't know how long it lasts, which the documents will all tell you. But if we know you get lasting immunity from this thing that is only hurting a very small portion of the population, according to their own data, despite all the bleeding narratives and scaremongering, then what are we talking about? A lifetime. So they tell us. But let's go with the ones that don't do that. Sounds great. In tests of its effect on monkeys, the nanoparticle vaccine blocked, which I don't know what they imply. It's a weird term to use after everything we've already heard. Right? Does that mean it blocks the symptoms? Does that mean that it stops transmission? Like, I think that's an intentionally opaque word. But it says, but meant to sound severe, right? The same as protects you when all they're saying is stops mild symptoms to a degree. But it says blocked COVID infection by 100%. So I can almost promise you that they're talking about symptoms. And this means that you're asymptomatic, but you're still sick though, or whatever, which would mean, well, I don't want to assume any further, but it says the new vaccine also elicited significantly higher neutralizing levels of the animal than, neutralizing levels in the animals than current vaccine platforms or natural infections in humans, right? So what they're claiming right there is that this creates something. If they're telling you this is a lasting immunity and all they're saying is that this 100% blocks the infection, sounds a little different to me. But I guess we'll have to wait and see when they ram this thing through like they will everything else. Quote, basically what we've done is take multiple copies of a small part of the coronavirus to make the body's immune system respond in a heightened way, right? You know, that old little spike protein that we don't really want to name in this discussion because it's clearly an issue. We found that not only did that increase the body's ability to inhibit the virus from causing infection, see, not stopping transmission, but also targets this cross-reactive site of vulnerability on the spike protein more frequently. We think that's why this vaccine is effective against SARS-1, SARS-CoV-2, and at least four of its common variants. Okay, but only four of them, though. So let's pretend it works on everything, but only these four. Love how you end with that, plus additional animal coronaviruses. But isn't it weird that it can work against SARS and SARS-CoV-2? It's like, you know, maybe they're more closely related than we're told. But the idea is that this is being rammed through while we haven't even approved any of these yet. I keep saying that. You realize that it's emergency authorized because we have, and I'm going to show you that next, we have not verified what's going on in these things. And reality is, and already people in the chat go, oh, that's fake. I'm going to show you on the FDA document where it says just that. But the point is, how can we continue to authorize or even create new things that are unproven in current real world trials, which we just showed you we're currently in, which again will be proven in this FDA document that they state exactly that, which I found to be pretty big, actually. They're doing it anyway, though. Sinopharm, China's coming out with that one. We got this random new pan coronavirus vaccine, all utilizing mRNA technology, which is unproven in the real world setting in any of this stuff, even trials. It has not been approved. But let's just make more of it, though, before we even get there. It's crazy. Oh, and on the last point here, this is from 2012, just on the note of SARS, which is back when they were doing this with the SARS coronavirus vaccine. And it says, conclusion, these SARS-CoV vaccines all induced antibody protection against infection with SARS-CoV. Oh, okay. So exactly what they're saying with this one. What's weird is they stopped there. They said, oh, it produces antibodies. It works. Hooray. And they all rushed it out as fast as they could. But guess what? However, challenge of mice given any of the vaccines led to occurrence of Th2 type immunopathology suggesting hypersensitivity to SARS-CoV components was induced. Caution in proceeding to application of the SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated. Weird. So it caused your body to attack itself and do a different thing. Same kind of things we're seeing today. Weird, isn't that? It's almost like they knew because they've done this before. But bringing this over here to the vaccine, or at least the FDA document first, I just wanted to point this out, that this is what Bette Midler says in regard to the vaccine. If my kid can't bring peanut butter to school, which, by the way, and in my opinion, was completely created by exactly the kind of things we're talking about today, whether by accident or not, then yours can't bring the deathly plague. How ignorant. Vaccinate or I'm bringing the Jiffy, right? The deathly plague. I mean, simply, I don't care if they keep screaming, the biggest pandemic of the century. It doesn't make it the truth. Look at the data, Bette Midler. Look at the reality that this thing is not even close to some of these things, even with the manipulation. Ask yourself why the flu is literally non-existent today. Ask yourself any number of things, such as the PCR test having a verifiable false positive rate, even according to the CDC, which guarantees there's a false positive number out there. But let's pretend like it's so deathly and deadly. But on top, moving that point aside, you're threatening children with peanut butter because they're going to maybe threaten you with what you're afraid of, even though that's not actually a threat, because children have a 0% chance, Bette Midler, according to the CDC. Like, think about this. This is what's funny is when they say the comments down here, somebody responds to Bette Midler, choosy moms choose Jif, which is funny. It's their commercial. And there is no FDA approval pediatric coronavirus vax as of today. She's right. Nor is there one for anybody, by the way. I'm not certain, which is, I bet you it's funny, is even she probably doesn't know that. Now, I don't know that. I'm just guessing the way she phrased that. But it's crazy. Even people that are skeptical don't realize that this thing's not approved. I'm not certain where you're going with this meme, but wishing death on children is certainly a call for self-reflection. Now, even if she was trying to be facetious, which it kind of seems like the case, but regardless, you can't pretend like saying, I'll bring something that kills children to that school is not even a joking threat to hurt children. Somebody says, you think the FDA is your friend? You're off the rocker. It's like, where did you get that from? Why would you think? She's calling everything out as a point. But anyway, because she never once wished death for children, drama mama. And she says, what is it then? What's the interpretation? Let's figure it out. Peanut butter isn't allowed in schools. The risk of anaphylactic shock to these allergic, it basically could hurt children. She says she'll take it to schools. How do you not realize what that's saying? And it says, and you're fine with COVID kid being brought to school? What? This is the kind of arguments you're seeing. The assumption that if you're saying this, that you're okay. Nobody said that. The point is that you can't dictate what I can do with my child in a situation where none of them are at any risk. You can't force a mask on them. You can't force them to be vaccinated when the CDC tells them they're at 0% risk. You're a maniac if you don't understand what that means. But that's the classic sidestep. Oh, you're the couch argument here, right? Whatever, that's what we keep seeing. But let's cut to the chase with this document. Here is the updated document. Oh, that's right. I always forget. Let me roll this down real quick. So you can see at the bottom, hopefully, right? Okay. Revised May 10th, 2021. First time I've seen them do that since April 6th, even though I've proven to you that there have been changes, which I think is very telling. Sometimes they don't want you to know they changed it, right? But here's what it says. Just very clearly, right out of the gate, because this is the one we all have to remember, there is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Zero. Not a single approved vaccine. They're all emergency authorized. Emergency use authorization. That's what they are, period. Down here, it says, what is the Pfizer what is the vaccine? It says the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is, again, an unapproved vaccine that may pretend prevent COVID-19. And then again, there's no FDA approved vaccine. So make sure you know that, right? But I think it's funny. They never say it can, will, may, which means they don't know. And they've admitted that, guys, over and over and over. We just don't, that people don't want to hear it. And oh, and I'm including both of these as usual. Well, when I first put this up here, I was really just going to include it and pass over it quickly because I've done this a million times and I noticed that it was revised. So I'm going to go through it just a couple quick points, but I want to include this document from the FDA and this one from the NIH that clearly says experimental coronavirus vaccine on January 12th for the Moderna, but all of them. So you can have these two things. These two documents are important to keep in your pocket, to keep on your phone, to keep the links, because you can show people real time and say, if this thing is literally unapproved according to the FDA and is also experimental according to the NIH, as of right now, you cannot mandate this. You can't force me to take it for work. You can't force it to take my kid to take it. You can't force it in any way, shape, or form, because it's a crime. You're literally breaking the law. Not some mandate that they just did, but law that's been there for a long time. Might give them pause. At the very least, you'll have a legal standing to sue these people because you showed them, they knew it, did it anyway. But it says, who should get the Pfizer vaccine? It says, FDA, now this is what, look at what they changed. That's why they updated this today. FDA has authorized the emergency use of Pfizer in 12-year-olds. They rushed in here to change that one, didn't they? Like, as quick as they could, even though they've not carried updated before. 12 years old. Why? Because I showed you they've emergency authorized it for 12-year-olds. Right. 0% chance of having any issue. And they're 12 years old. We're testing on these kids in real time. And if you're a parent allowing that, you're a bad person or you're completely snowed. But it says, who should not get the vaccine? Well, guess what? They don't list in there all the things we do know. What about under 12? They don't say that. They don't say people who are pregnant because they haven't finished that testing. That's weird. They just deleted those, huh? It's almost like they don't want you to think about that. But it says people who have had an allergic reaction to after the one of the doses. Well, that's not happening. I keep showing you guys this. This is a legal scapegoat. Like, they want to have this here so they can pretend this happened. It's literally not happening. And all of you know that. People out there that disagree with me right now, they also know that. Because when they went to get the thing they thought was approved and had some kind of anaphylactic shock, they gave them their EpiPen and they came back for the next dose. Because that's what matters, is the vaccine at all costs. So if they're in bold telling you, you should not have this if you had a severe allergic reaction. It's so many of these things happening. They don't care. Then it says, had a severe allergic reaction to any ingredient in the vaccine. Now, they do go on to list them down here, but guess where they don't list them? We just showed you that, right? In the pharmacist on opening up the insert in the vaccine. The vaccine insert. I should have said that. I was just trying to, yeah, here's right here.
Break this open, and perfectly on top is this perfectly normal package insert. A lot of safety and efficacy data. In fact, all of the normal information that we would find in a package insert, like the ingredients, that would all be found right here in the package insert. Must be magic.
Look at that. Like, this is what it should look like, right? Right there. Whatever. But it's just incredible to me. Like, that is so obvious. And they're pretending like this is all happening, you know, right on track with normal stuff and we're not breaking rules. Should piss you off. So the point is, how do they even know what these ingredients are at Walgreens, at the Waffle House or the bar or plenty of places where 100% have been given vaccines? Also at the bottom, it says, if you receive one dose of the Pfizer vaccine, you should receive a second dose in three. Now, just tell me if I'm crazy. I forgot to look. I was going to look this up. Wasn't it 2 weeks, or am I confusing one with a different vaccine? Let me know somewhere. Cause if they arbitrarily change the number to 3 from 2, that doesn't make it. Where's the science for that? But I could be wrong. I didn't get a chance to look into that. I thought one was one and one was two. If it was 2 and 3, maybe I'm incorrect there, but in any case, strange. It's a side point that I noticed. Going forward, what are the risks of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine? Well, it's interesting that they add a bunch of these things, but they continue to leave off death, even though it's been proven. They don't want you to think about that. It's a verified fact that somebody has died from these vaccines. Well, I mean, let me walk that back short, just mildly, because in my opinion, the data shows quite clearly that Pfizer has led to deaths in where they're talking about the strokes, the side of the anaphylactic shocks, that any number of things. But the AstraZeneca, the Johnson & Johnson have been proven specifically linked to, not linked, but proven to cause the vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia that led to strokes, led to death. But this is being caused by the spike protein. We're having the same exact reports coming from the Pfizer vaccine caused by the spike protein, based on my research and based on all these experts that have said the same thing. But the point being, it should be listed there. It's not. But going forward, at least it adds a bunch. Difficulty. Now, just hear this for people that are thinking this is a normal thing. The risks of taking this vaccine, according to Pfizer and FDA themselves, they can include difficulty breathing, swelling of your face and throat, a fast heartbeat, a bad rash all over your body, dizziness and weakness, which are signs of a severe allergic reaction, but that's totally normal. According to what the media says, don't worry, it's just working. It just shows you that's working. But it also can include severe allergic reactions, non-severe allergic reactions like a rash, itching, hives, swelling of the face, injection site pain, tiredness, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, fever, injection site swelling, injection site redness, nausea, feeling unwell, swollen lymph nodes, which can be very dangerous, diarrhea, vomiting, arm pain, but it's totally safe though. These may not be all the possible side effects, it says. Shocking. You mean the ones you chose not to point out, like anaphylactic shock, actually specifically like strokes, heart attacks, on and on and on. Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials. Let me repeat that again. On the Pfizer documentation by the FDA, it says very clearly, Pfizer vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials. So can we put this to bed, finally? All you trolls in the chat, can you please just look real quick and recognize that you're wrong? It's very obviously still happening. We are still currently in trials for the things they're putting in people's arms, according to Pfizer themselves, according to the FDA themselves. But I'll probably have to reiterate this every day for the next 1,000 years because people won't look. It's incredible. You're being tested on, and you don't want to know that, which is ridiculous in and of itself. But going forward, what if I decide not to get the Pfizer vaccine? I want to reiterate this for those that didn't hear it the last time. Pfizer's telling you, the FDA is telling you, it's your choice to receive it or not. Not your jobs, not your schools, not the government's, yours. Because that's the law, by the way. Also the international law. Your government doesn't care, though. It says, should you decide not to receive it, well, guess what? It will not change your standard medical care, except that's a complete lie because we've already shown you doctors that are refusing unvaccinated people. We've seen a surgeon who's arguing that we shouldn't be working on people who aren't vaccinated. Yeah, Hippocratic oath, right? You terrible person. But it's right there because you know why? That's the law because that the Pfizer wants this document that they at least stated the right thing, but your government doesn't care. Your media doesn't care. Are other choices available for, but this is an important point. It doesn't say other vaccines. It says, are there choices? And it doesn't say curing. It says preventing. That's the static headline that they fill something in underneath it, right? They've changed it now. It used to say, I think, other alternatives or something, but now it says vaccines. But the question is, are there other choices available for preventing COVID, which would include all the ones you would have heard, hydroxychloroquine, remdesivir, ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, all the things we continue to hear. Those all are other choices for preventing COVID-19. We all know that. But guess what it says in the answer? Currently, there is no approved alternative vaccine. Okay, so that is their sidestep because, of course, you realize that if there were any other all available preventatives that they could use, they wouldn't be allowed to emergency authorize these vaccines. That's why they just play the word game and say, nope, there's none vaccines. Crazy. Can I receive the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine with other vaccines? Well, guess what? There's no information on that. Wah, wah, we don't know. So what about the children you're giving it to now? Didn't they just get vaccines for something else or the flu? What about the people that just got the flu shot? Are you telling them not to get this because we don't know whether or not they conflict? No, you're not. People are being told to get the flu shot and the COVID shot because vaccines, because safe, right? Safe and effective, safe and effective. They didn't even test for it and they're telling you to do it because they care about your safety, right, guys? What if I'm pregnant or breastfeeding? Well, now it just says, well, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, discuss your option with your healthcare provider. Are you kidding me? They're not even done testing on pregnant women, and they already remove where it says that you shouldn't do it. These are some slimy, disgusting people. Finally, down here at the bottom, it says the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine has not undergone the same type of review as an FDA-approved or cleared product. Can we also just digest that, especially for the trolls in the chat? It has not undergone the same type of review as an approved or cleared product, meaning by definition, this is not even a cleared product, meaning it is not fully vetted. That is literally what this is a common understanding of this before COVID clown world, right? All of a sudden, you got all these up jump people in the country that have never paid attention to anything health related, are suddenly experts because the government told them, the media told them, no, that's this, and it's approved for emergency use or whatever they keep screaming. They didn't do it. It's not done the proper way. It has not undergone the same type of review, which they've told you was the gold standard and absolutely necessary, right? Ask yourself why they continue to not approve things like cannabis. Why? Because they tell you there's not enough research, not enough studies. Well, now they just skip over that because your safety? Apparently. FDA may issue an emergency use authorization when certain criteria are met, which includes that there are no adequate approved available alternatives. They don't say vaccines. Make note of that. Anything that is adequate approved and available, like all the other things we talked about that have shown, some there's plenty of doctors that are saying that it has an incredible rate or efficacy. I'm not even getting into that because I don't like supporting any sort of drug. I like the natural stuff, which, by the way, they also illegalize, which is ridiculous. But they're telling you right there, if you were to approve those, or at the very least, emergency authorize, or just show if there was something else, because even though we know that there is, they wouldn't be legally allowed to do this. So that's why they're going out of their way to hide these things. They're actually passing laws that won't allow you to get any of these things. I understand that you can't even get ivermectin in certain states right now. I don't know why. I don't know why you would get something from a big pharma drug. But my point is you should have that option. And they're going out of their way to remove things that might be able to help you. How do you feel that that is a positive thing? Anybody? Because politics, right? Because, oh, well, that's that Trump thing and blah, blah, blah. That's stupid. You're being played. It says the known and potential benefits of the product. Okay, so we don't know all the benefits because it's still being tested. Outweigh the known and potential risks. Again, we don't know all of the risks because it's still being tested. So you can't answer that question, which means by definition, you can't make an emergency authorization. It goes on to say the EUA for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is in effect for the duration of, guess what, the COVID-19 emergency use authorization declaration, justifying emergency use of the products. So the moment, as I keep telling you, that Donald Trump initiated the emergency declaration, that's where it all began and all continued downhill. Whether you think he did it because he thought it was right or not, Trump declared emergency, which began everything, which started the fact that the states could declare emergencies. They could do all, it starts everything. And because we're under the state of emergency, they can emergency authorize these vaccines. But guess what? We're not in emergency. I don't care what you want to point to. Look at India, which I don't even know why you think that makes sense. Look at China before this, right? We are being propagandized. More than half that country stated by their own people already has herd immunity. These people that are dying from all sorts of other things and they burn people. No, that's what tends to happen over there. We are being played. I'm not saying there's not something going on. I don't know. I don't trust the media even slightly. They made the same ridiculous narrative based on our fake information in this country. Playing up the PCR nonsense, lying about combining these things, making people cases and deaths that weren't even close to those things. Why would we then trust what they're saying about India? There's plenty of information. Off Guardian has a great article showing you that this is complete fabrication. But in any case, the point is that the declaration of emergency is what's keeping this going when we're not in emergency. If it's 0.14% death rate, or excuse me, infection fatality rate, if you're under 50 and you have less than the flu risk, we're not in an emergency. But you know what? They will keep it an emergency as long as they want. And you know who gets to declare that we're no longer in this state? The Health and Human Services, which is just tied up nice and neat with this whole agenda. They're not going to stop this. That's giving up power. It's on us, honest people out there, to point these things out and try to wake up those that refuse to look at the science while screaming about the science. But quickly on masks before we get into the major topic to wrap up here today. Fauci says, guess what? We can get close to normal next Mother's Day. Oh, so now we're another year out. Isn't that funny how he just keeps pushing it down the line? That's apparently Fauci's job, just to keep you feeling it's just one day away. Oh, just next month. Oh, just next Mother's Day. Don't worry, we'll get there. Oh, by the way, though, we're not, though, because on the other side of his mouth, well, we're probably going to wear masks forever. Yes, as I keep telling you, that was always the point. And now they're transitioning masks into climate change, right? Well, now we've got these masks that can detect CO2. And of course, that's being talked about already under the guise of helping us fight the climate change discussion. And now we're just transitioning masks over because climate change seamlessly. Isn't that funny? It's just incredible how that worked. Clearly, we are being played, guys, and it couldn't be more obvious. Let me pull this back up a little bit. This drives me crazy. I always want this to be just right. There you go. Next Mother's Day. 15 days to flatten the curve becomes years and years. Even though these things aren't doing what they tell you they do based on the science that continues to show you that there's not a statistically significant reduction in transmission by the random controlled trial peer-reviewed science that they don't want to look at, or the fact that they are clearly causing bacterial infections in your mouth. Also, according to the science that they don't want to look at for the British Medical Journal, the only random controlled trial about cloth masks. No one talks about this stuff except other scientists that report it and then get forced to redact by the editors. All right, these are facts, guys. And he's saying that everyone has to get vaccinated.
Give everyone a sense of what the country is going to look like next Mother's Day.
Well, George, I hope that next Mother's Day we're going to see a dramatic difference than what we're seeing right now. I believe that we will be about as close to back to normal as we can. And this-
so we're not, though. Close to normal is not normal. Just so we understand language here, he is literally telling you that we will not be through this by next Mother's Day. According to Fauci,
there's some conditions to that, George. We've got to make sure that we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated. When that happens, the virus doesn't really have any place to go. There aren't.
Okay, except the fact that people can still spread and catch it, though. We care to explain that, Fauci? Where's the media? Come on, journalist. Aren't you going to go, wait a minute? That doesn't make sense because of obvious points. But nope, let's just let Fauci yell lies at you and nod your head.
A lot of vulnerable people around. And where there are not a lot of vulnerable people around, you're not going to see a surge. You're not going to see the kinds of numbers we see now.
How does reducing symptoms stop any sense of spread? It doesn't. You could argue that the lessening of, by the way, the point really, and this is the full point, is that there's, in my opinion, nowhere, and look, plenty of people have made this point. Del Bigtree discussed this, plenty of people. I don't see any real world evidence this thing actually reduces your symptoms. But the point is that if it reduces your symptoms, you could argue that maybe it wouldn't spread because you wouldn't be sneezing or coughing as much. And that's a fair argument, I guess. But the reality is that this thing can still spread and still catch, even with a vaccine. And that's, understand, only lessening symptoms. So there's still symptoms. These are all facts. You can look it up on their own documentation. So the reality is it will continue. But this is my opinion, the point. It's meant to. Whether you think creation or just using it or however you want to look at the scenario, again, we're so far past that. We're at a point now where it's almost irrelevant. It still matters, but they're driving this in so aggressively with the vaccine passports and the entry into this new world order, this new great reset they're trying to create, that is what we need. That is the front line right now. We cannot let this pass. Next Mother's Day, you might be able to get close to, this makes me turn, God, it drives me crazy. But he's telling you right here that we will be wearing, this is going to become seasonal. And this is what a lot of people have been saying, if you just pay attention, that we're going to have to put these on for climate change, or to put these on for any other number of situations they've already applied it to, including some other new illness, even the flu. They're saying, well, we're just going to start wearing masks for the flu. This is all the time, everywhere. That is what they're telling you if you just listen. As I said, I'm getting sick and tired of saying I told you so. I mean, these are things that I do not want to be right about, guys. As I said, less than a month into this madness, when they were still flirting with 15 days to flatten the curve, if you knew that these restrictions would never end, would you still keep complying? Listen to that. Think about what I'm saying. It's not a means to an end if it's not going to end. And just on my walk today, or technically walking, shopping with my mom this morning, not even walking, as I said, my normal distance, just around town with my mom, I saw five actually grossly littered around with no concern for what should be a biohazard if their narrative were true. And just a lady, of course, keeping her life-saving device mashed in her back pocket, because it's totally safe, right? It is ridiculous that we are the crazy ones while this is what's happening. This is being allowed. People don't care. It's compliance. That's it. This is supposed to be some kind of serious device that's stopping you from getting the worst pandemic in a century. And you're going to mash it on your pocket. You're going to hang it on your neck. You're going to put it on a table at the cafeteria or the food court. We all have seen this stuff, guys. People hang it on their dashboard and they hang in the mirror. This is disgusting. And it's gross, regardless of COVID-19. This thing in and of itself is becoming this is laden with germs and bacteria. This is what's getting people sick. it's just sickening to me. And that's why I honestly think it's continuing to increase. But a last point before we get into this next part, I wanted to play this. This is something that was shared with me. Somebody in the chat, I just happened to see this. We need you on the Jimmy Dore show. He'll never invite me on. I've emailed him many times. He knows exactly what's like. I showed you that tweet where he comments about anyone else feeling this way. And it's like, come on, man, you know what I'm talking about. You know what all of us are talking about. I see the emails that get sent to him. I know that he sees this, doesn't care, or chooses to pretend it's not there. If he wants to have me on the show, I would love to go on the show and speak to his audience about what's really going on. And I'll print out the scientific documents to hold if that makes people feel better. It's just never going to happen. As I understand it, he already has kind of an agreement with YouTube about not covering COVID or doing certain things. That's part of the problem, in my opinion. That's stuff that we shouldn't be doing that. We should be going the other direction. But going back to this, this is an important thing that's scary to me. This was shared by somebody in our chat that is dealing with this right now. Let me pull this up real quick. Oh, you know what? I already have it, I think. Is this the one? Nope. That's too early. Oh, wait, was this it? Yeah, this is it right here. Okay. So this starts off, and these are tweets being sent, and you can see by the timestamps. Text message Wednesday 3:51. It says, you or your child. And this is not because she didn't do anything. This wasn't solicited. This came unsolicited. You or your child were recently exposed in a Hillsborough County school and have been enrolled in a symptom monitoring program assisted by, guess what? The Florida Department of Health. Right. So all those out there continuing to scream about how Florida is the best and all, you know, yeah, they're doing things that seem to be in the right direction, but maybe that's just for a political potential presidential run or many other things. As I point out, as even DeSantis will say, we're not going to do these vaccine passports, but the part that people keep leaving out of the discussion is we will not stop businesses from doing mass mandates and vaccine passport. They get to do it if they want to, which, by the way, is going to happen. So let's not pretend like this is not going to also happen in Florida. And if this is still happening in Florida, let's not pretend like he's not hip to what's really going on, guys. It's being used for political reasons. We shouldn't be trusting any of these players. But it says, you will receive your first daily text tomorrow. Oh, and message and rates may apply. Oh, great. Thank you. So I pay for your text that I don't want. Good times. Well, let's watch it. So Thursday, the next day, have you developed any symptoms related to COVID-19, such as cough, fever, shortness of breath, sore throat, or challenge in taste of smell? Reply yes or no. And of course, she replies no and says, thank you. We'll check in again tomorrow. If you develop, oops, I jumped ahead. Dang it. Here we are. It says, we'll check in again tomorrow. And if you develop any of these symptoms, reply simp. So tomorrow, like the next day. So this is a constant tracking. So you think, oh, I'll just ignore it, right? Well, that's not even possible. But she says, it just goes over. Same thing. Exact same message. Do you have symptoms today on Friday? No. Thank you. We'll check in tomorrow. This is the next day. You have symptoms today? Same question. No. We'll check in tomorrow. Over and over and over. Now it says, have you developed any symptoms? Same point, same question, exactly the same thing. And the next day, this time she just says, screw it, I'm not going to respond. That's what it says. Look at what it says. Please respond soon. And well, actually, let's look at the time. So it says, I keep missing it. So 9:11 a.m. Right. So in the morning, they ask you if you have symptoms. At 2 p.m., they're saying, please respond soon or your health department will contact you to check in. Does that mean on the phone? Does that mean your front door? We've already seen these front door visits. Have you developed any symptoms? They're asking again. No. Wait, how do they even know they're not lying, first of all, which seems pretty stupid. Like, this is not really about. This is about compliance and it's about doing what you're told. Thank you. We'll check again tomorrow. Over and over and over without being asked, agreed to. This is an authoritarian state action, guys. You don't have a choice. And they're going to send people out to make sure whether you want them or not. Isn't this incredible? I mean, this is alarming because this is beginning to a point where you no longer have health freedom. It's not your choice. Under the guise that you're in danger, which shouldn't even be allowable, but we're not even though. The emergency does not exist in the way that they're using it. And this is what allows stuff like this. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, Joe Biden. It is all happening at the same time, and they're all a part of it, guys, and we need to realize that. It's just very, very, very clear. Now, to finish this up, this is actually a really important discussion. We've talked about the possibility, or specifically to start with the definition and the way that they sidestep whether or not this thing, quote unquote, alters your DNA. I never even made that claim. I've simply said that, in my opinion, in fact, that the way that they describe this appears to very clearly state that it manipulates your genetic makeup. And that splitting hairs between that discussion is just simply that. But that's what they ultimately do, is they get in and say, well, because this goes back, that isn't technically considered, it doesn't apply like to actually altering your DNA. So it's sort of like semantics, like sort of sidestepping the point. And all I said was, well, regardless of what you define it as, that's alarming. It's genetic manipulation. You're changing your body to do something it never does. Even if it goes back, that's crazy to me. And we don't know the side effects long term of that. But this is December 2020. Now, yes, here, this is a preprint, meaning it's not peer reviewed. But bear with me, because it is now. But in December 2020, the point is to realize that nobody wanted to talk about this other than attacking it back at a point when it was the most important. December 2020, right? Just before they're about to start rushing this thing into people's arms, outside of these trials they rushed. No one wanted to listen. All they did was attack it and pretend like they didn't know what they were doing, because that challenges the narrative that they are worshiping. It says, here we investigated the possibility that SARS-CoV-2 RNAs, so remember, mRNA is messenger RNA, can be reverse transcribed and integrated into the human genome, and that transcription of the integrated sequences might account for, guess what, PCR positive tests, meaning that this can cause you to test positive potentially indefinitely after this thing, even though you're not sick. So get this, add that to another possible way that we're inflating these numbers. Isn't that incredible? Somebody's asking about Tim Dillon having me on. Well, that would be amazing. Yeah, we'll have Whitney on all the time. I would love to go on that show. I think he does, he's funny and I love having a good laugh, but I don't think it'll happen. I think for everybody, I'm a little bit too contentious because I don't care about censorship and people try to protect their channels. I get it. I don't agree with it. I get it, though. I mean, take, for example, somebody who, like the Convo Couch, who I respect. I don't agree with every political statement, but I think they do a good job. They had me on, got hit for it, got a strike, right? There are people having these conversations all over YouTube, but take a note that they want to snuff me out. I don't know why they're allowing this to be on the main channel, right? Actually, I forgot to say that at the beginning. The only reason this is on the main channel today is just because of lack of time. It was already connected and I didn't want to go through the process. You're not going to see this happening a lot. I'm going to probably broadcast on this channel few and far between. So on that note, if you're watching right now, if you only watch on YouTube, you will miss 90%+ of my content, because it will not be on this channel. And at the very least, it'll be on one of the pirate channels that are just subscribers letting me use their channel. Because this technically channel has already been sanitized. They've already deleted half the content. In any case, going forward, in support of this hypothesis, we found chimeric transcripts, meaning that, by definition, let's look it up, because I know what this means in some context, that it kind of changes from in different forms. In this case, this is a mythical animal, right? But what they're talking about here is relating to or denoting an organism containing a mixture of genetically different tissues formed by processes such as fusion of early embryos, grafting, or mutation. Sure, sounds totally natural. We found chimeric transcripts consisting of viral fused to cellular sequences in published data sets of SARS-CoV-2 infected culture cells, which kind of seems to suggest manipulation, does it not? And primary cells of patients consistent with the transcription of viral sequences integrated into the genome. Excuse me. We describe evidence that SARS-CoV-2 RNAs can be reverse transcribed in human cells by reverse transcriptase RT from line one elements or by HIV-1 RT, and that these DNA sequences can be integrated into the cell genome and subsequently be transcribed. It's funny how they just don't talk about this science, though, you know? This novel feature of SARS-CoV-2 infection may explain why patients can continue to produce viral RNA after recovery. Okay, but this got attacked. Fake news, not peer-reviewed, a bunch of hacks. You know, who cares about all their careers and their reputable past? And who cares? They said this one thing, they're debunked for life. They're crazy. Anti-science, as they literally produce science. But this is what happened. So let's hop, skip, and a jump over to today, or technically May 6th. Further evidence, and this is why I titled it this way, supports controversial claim that SARS-CoV-2 genes can integrate with human DNA. On science. You know, science, that classically fake news anti-science rag, right? You know, it's just funny how these are highly reputable locations according to the mainstream. And it's just funny how they would happily disparage anything as fake news anti-science, except when it's things that they regularly point to, right? They'll just ignore it when it's on science like this. Now it says, a team of prominent scientists has doubled down on its controversial hypothesis that genetic bits of the pandemic coronavirus can integrate into our chromosomes and stick around long after the infection is over. If they are right, the insertions could explain the rare finding that people can recover from COVID-19, but then test positive for SARS-CoV-2 again months later. Or I guess technically that would be, yeah, no, I guess that, yeah, it's confusing to some degree when they list them off, but remember that SARS-CoV-2 is the virus, whereas COVID-19 is the disease that it causes. Now, at least, you know, so we're told. Stem cell biologist Rudolf Janisch and gene regulation specialist Richard Young of the Massachusetts Institute for Technology, MIT, again, one of those anti-science fringe weirdo places, who led the work, triggered a Twitter storm. Because, you know, all those Twitter experts, you know, that's where we go, right? that's all those Twitter. No, you're fake news. Oh, you experts. I know because I watched CNN last night, right? That's what we get. It says when their team first presented the idea in a preprint on this is what we just read, right? That's the preprint on BioRxiv. The researchers emphasized the viral integration did not mean people who recover from COVID-19 remain infections. It says infectious, meaning you can't spread it. It says they go on to talk about stoking unfounded fears. This is the point. This comes out. Was it this? Oh, wait, where are we? I went way too far back. So this comes out because they're basically forced to, as they list in the article, put this out in a preprint because that's just the process. And everyone attacks it. And instead of taking a minute and realizing the research is pretty sound, they do everything the right way. They just don't like what they find. This is the crazy reality we're in today. And that's why you have a lot of scientists that are screaming about this. That this is crazy and unscientific. Now it says researchers also present, my point was they said that they're saying that this was unfounded fear, right? So listing scientific findings is creating unfounded fears about vaccine. That's what it's again, vaccine hesitancy, right back to Vent 201. Who cares if it's true? It says researchers also presented a brace of scientific criticisms, some of which the team addresses in a paper released online today, which I think I have, yeah, right there, by PNAS, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Quote, we now have unambiguous evidence that coronavirus sequences can integrate into the genome. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Wonder why you didn't hear about this on Fox and CNN. Here's the news. This is March 29th. Or technically April 29th is when it was contributed by Janisch, if I'm saying that name correctly. But here's what it says right in the document. In support of this hypothesis, we found that DNA copies of SARS-CoV-2 sequences can be integrated into the genome of infected human cells. What do you know? We also found in some patient-derived tissues evidence suggesting that a large fraction of the viral sequences is transcribed from integrated DNA copies of viral sequences generating viral host chimeric transcripts. They're choosing to hide this from you guys. You must see this. This is a sound, completely. Look, they will attack this, and they're already trying to do it. But recognize that this is a peer-reviewed outlet. It does not go on here without being peer-reviewed, and it actually cites it right here. It was sent for review on March 29th and reviewed right by these individuals. This is how this works. So this is done the right way. It's been confirmed by other scientists that this is done the right way by MIT, right? Because this, or and the other people involved, the Center for Cancer Research, National Cancer Institute, Whitehead Institute for Biomedical Research in Cambridge, Massachusetts, bunch of fake news, right? But this is why they literally just ignore it, because they can't disparage this as fake news, because it's done the right way and there's no air for it. There's no gaps. I'm sure they will find them and try. But guys, this is the science, and they're telling you that this can integrate with human DNA, which means it does alter your genetic makeup, and potentially for an unknown period of time, maybe forever. But I will be censored just for playing this or showing you this, showing you the science that they tell you to trust, because they don't like what it says. Now, I'm going to quickly just go over the ones I showed you the other day, just the brief points, to realize that this is all connected, right? We're talking about the very things here. The spike protein that can cause all of these issues we're talking about. Now, this point on the screen is before that. We're talking about before that, before the issues that are then caused. This is creating a situation where it says the genes can integrate with your DNA. But talking about just the spike protein on this thing, or more importantly, in the vaccine or what the vaccine produces in your body, causes you to get very sick. And all the science that I'm going to show you is coming to that conclusion. The novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional role in illness. This is the Salk Institute that I, weirdly, this has gotten a bunch of push like the last week. But I covered this right after April 30th, and hopefully you guys saw it on the, I think it was April, it doesn't matter, but I did the discussions about, I'll show you the two links in a minute about spike protein and a couple different things. Problem is, these get buried like this in the middle of the show, and so people don't see that. But April 30th, 2021, Circulation Research. In the new study, the researchers created a pseudovirus that was surrounded by SARS-CoV-2 classic crown of spike proteins, right? So it's a different virus, but it had those spike proteins that caused the issue. So not SARS-CoV-2, but a pseudovirus with the same spike proteins. It did not contain any actual virus, though. Exposure to that, guess what? Resulted in damage to the lungs, arteries of an animal model. Weird, just like we're seeing today. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because it's a spike protein. And the science is pretty damn clear on that, proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease. What do you know? Now, doesn't that seem like absolutely profound science to discuss today? That if the spike protein by itself can literally cause disease, that we maybe shouldn't be pumping that into our bodies in any other way? Or how about even more so, that we shouldn't be training our bodies to learn how to make that? I mean, anybody? It says, if you remove the replicating capabilities of the virus, it still has a major damaging effect on the vascular cells. Simply by virtue of its ability to bind to this ACE2 receptor. Which again, I have to point out, Whitney was talking about long before this ever started. Like the very early days of COVID-19, talking about the ACE2 receptor and how that was a factor, and yet again, calling it. But think about how clear this is. You don't need the virus. All you need is a spike protein and the ability to bind itself to your body. And yet we're making vaccines that is their main function. Let that sink in. So again, either so incredibly incompetent or making things that they know will make you sick. Well, COVID-19, and this is on April 28th, 2021. This one was April 30th. I already read that. April 28th, 2021. I already read you these in the past, but these are important to reiterate. COVID-19 alters human genes. And why? As I read down there, because of the spike protein, right? And it said, and this was funny. It says, explaining the mystery behind the long haulers. Well, no, not at all, actually, because we can very clearly show that by the spike protein from the vaccine, as well as masks and many other things that are causing illness, even just the lockdowns, which are causing a massive increase in illness and depression and psychological issues that they're lumping all into COVID-19. Scientifically, scientists revealed the spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2, the virus causing COVID-19, creates long-lasting changes to human gene expression, right? Combine these things, right? Combine the science and the different researches and find that they all point in the same direction. The spike protein alone can possibly forever alter your genetic makeup or human gene expression, to be exact. Well, I think I've listed this twice. Yeah, the same one. Oh, no, this is different. Oh, that's right. This is the one that I showed you before. I forgot I included this. So again, this is also a preprint, but that is the process. Oh, and I was going to point that out, that they say down here, it doesn't matter, but they point out that they say, I mean, it matters, but they say, oh, right here. So he says what they says. He adds that when they submitted the paper to the journal, the preprint, they knew it would need a stronger data because they weren't done. Like they were finished, but they were going to continue to go forward. And he says, which they hoped to add during the review process. But the journal, like many, requires that they immediately post everything to the preprint server. Right. So it's not his choice. And it says, I probably should have said, screw you. I won't put it on there. Right. Because he knew that it was going to get attacked and it did. But the point is he's followed up. He has came, he's circled back around. They both have with sound research. And they say we have unambiguous evidence that this is the case. And they hide it from you. The media hides it from you. And on this note, SARS-CoV-2 spike protein impairs endothelial function via downregulation of the ACE2. Again, we show here that the spike protein alone can damage vascular endothelial cells. Different studies finding the same thing. The spike protein by itself. Here's the most important one, in my opinion. This is on January 11th. Implications for possible consequences of the vaccine because of the spike protein. It says, vaccines that introduce the spike protein into our body to elicit virus-neutralizing antibodies are currently being developed. It is important to be aware the spike protein produced by the new COVID-19 vaccines may also affect the host cells. I guess they're not trusting this science, huh? We should monitor the long-term consequences of these vaccines carefully, especially when they are administered to otherwise healthy individuals, right? Exactly what they're pushing most aggressively. Further investigate. I mean, what's funny is some of these aren't even, they won't even give to people that are older. Like the AstraZeneca, well, we're going to make sure not over 60. So let's make sure we jam this in the arms of people that don't need it, which seems to be the most at risk. Further investigations on the effects of the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein on human cells and appropriate experimental animal models are warranted, meaning that on January 11th, they hadn't even done the animal trials, even though they were already giving people this vaccine. They claim they jammed this through in a month or more. I find that to be ridiculous. If they did, it's not properly done. But in any case, here's the science, guys. Telling you right here, showing, I mean, these are reputable locations that are being absolutely dismissed or ignored for the obvious reasons. As I keep saying, there's not some other study that they're saying, well, no, this one's the correct one. There's no counterbalance here. The science all across the board is finding the spike protein itself is dangerous. But what most of them do is just relate that to COVID-19 alone. At the very least, this one is saying, well, obviously there's implications because you're putting the spike protein in your body in another way. This is on December 20th. And I already showed you this as well, in regard to your blood-brain barrier. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein alters barrier function in 2D static and 3D microfluidic in vitro models of the human blood-brain barrier, which we should be questioning the beginning. And even still this right now for in some places, I can't even understand why they're still letting people jam that thing back to your brain. Meanwhile, there are people swabbing the inside of their nose, and that's enough. Yet over here, this guy just got bleeding in his brain because they pushed it too far. I just saw that a week ago. Some lady had something brain swelling because they pushed it in too far. Why is that even happening? And why is it still happening? There's no justification. I've not heard one realistic justification for why that ever happened. That's scary. This might be telling. Introduction of the spike proteins to in vitro models of the blood-brain barrier showed significant changes to barrier properties. So maybe it was an experiment. Evidence provided suggests that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein triggers a pro-inflammatory response on brain endothelial cells and may contribute to an altered state of blood-brain barrier function. I guess they didn't want to talk about this back on December 2020, huh? Thereby offering a plausible explanation for the neurological consequences of what they say is COVID-19 patients, but also anybody getting this vaccine injection. In fact, I got to stop saying that. Experimental injection that also creates the spike protein. SARS-CoV-2 binds platelet ACE2 to enhance thrombosis in COVID-19. Well, again, spike protein directly enhanced platelet activation, such as platelet aggregation. And it goes on. The point is the same thing, that the spike protein is what is causing this, which is creating the platelet issues, which leads to strokes and blood clots and thrombosis and all the things we're talking about. Thereby spike protein enhanced thrombosis formation, right? It's crazy obvious. SARS-CoV-2 and its spike protein directly stimulated platelets to facilitate the release of coagulation factors, which is what leads to blood clots, the secretion of inflammatory factors causing the inflammation in your body. But yeah, it's all COVID-19 though, right? No, it's the spike protein, which is what the science finds. expression of, oh, you know what? I don't think I actually was going to include this. Yeah, I think this was something I was, oh, you know what? I was researching that other topic. So this might come back later. But finishing up, these are the two documents. Hold on. Just in case. Yeah, no, this is, okay, I remember what this one was. I'll make sure I wasn't missing something. But these are the two articles, videos. Technically, this one was first. The spike protein in COVID vaccines is putting you at serious risk, according to the science. Of course, that was censored, of course. And all I did was cite the same scientific documentation I just showed you. I don't know how that's fake news, but according to YouTube and everyone else, that's fake news, right? Slow News Day just got the video that my interview with him, they removed that for medical misinformation. It's just pathetic. Anyway, but this is a great, this again, all the ones I just showed you, all I did was come down here and pulled them from right here. Spike protein. You know, and I just went over the ones briefly again. If you want a more in-depth discussion, watch this entire show. Now I go back, I reiterate the Salk Institute discussion in this article and go over spike protein a little more, but we go over the self-spreading vaccines, which are very real. The science is very clear. They've been working on these things for a long time. Now, the one I want to pull this up just so I don't lose. I keep forgetting to save this somewhere. This was the important one. A lot of people went over this, but it was also important to go over all of the other ones too. The one that led up to this, the self-spreading vaccine discussion. But as I keep showing people on this alone, the original discussion was about animals. But Johns Hopkins is openly discussing the idea of self-spreading human vaccines. It's not a joke. And that they're currently testing these concepts on chimpanzees. So is it not possible that this even already got out, or the self-amplifying mRNA vaccines that continually produce spike proteins, which is the most dangerous thing I can imagine right now? Is it not possible these could have gotten out somehow? Yes, of course that's possible. But watch these. Research it for yourself. Now, to finish off on that same topic, if we know, as a matter of fact, according to the science, that this thing can alter your genetic expression, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're now, what does that ultimately mean for your body and your rights? Well, here's an interesting discussion. Now, I don't actually agree with some of the claims and conclusions this article comes to, but nonetheless, they state things that work. I did, look it up. I have the documents after this we can look into, but because I found it here, we'll go through this document. U.S. Supreme Court says Pfizer, Moderna may own your genes once you're injected, which is actually not, they didn't put it in quotes, but I would argue that title is a little misleading. I'll show you what it actually says, but it's true. I mean, generally, this is what Dr. How did I forget how to pronounce that? Carrie Ma, is it Madej or Maji? I forget. Dang, I've looked this up before. In any case, you guys remember Carrie, M-A-D-E-J, doing a great, calling this stuff out from the very beginning. In an interview with The New American, she says the Supreme Court ruled that if there is anything synthetic, not from nature, inside of our genome, then whoever owns the patent on those synthetic parts now owns part or all of you as a human. This means Bill and Melinda Gates et al., the Department of Defense et al., can literally own a human being. If this synthetic tool is taken up to your genome, by law, you could be owned overnight. Now, that's her statement. I would probably agree with that entirely. Now, let me go through the actual information and you can come to your own conclusions. Now, it says, the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision affirmed it ruled in part, and that's, let's jump over here real quick. That's what this is, the ruling itself. This is the ruling where they're referring to Diamond versus Chakrabarty. That's a crazy last name. So it says on June 16th, 1980, it says a patent examiner's rejection of the patent application's claims for the new bacteria. And this is a bacteria that is designed for eating oil spills, things like that. It says, was affirmed by the Patent Office Board of Appeals on the grounds that living things are not patentable subject matter under Section 101. The Court of Customs and Patent Appeals actually reversed, concluding that the fact that the microorganisms are alive is without legal significance for purposes of patent law. They held a live human-made microorganism is patentable subject matter under Section 101. Respondents' microorganisms constitutes a manufacture or composite of matter within that statute. Like, this is the important part. They're great. The idea of that just some of them, some part of it. Now it says, while laws of nature, physical phenomena, and abstract ideas are not patentable, the respondent's claim is not to a hitherto unknown natural phenomenon, but to a non-natural occurring manufacture or composite of matter, a product of human ingenuity, quote, having a distinctive name, character, and use. That's another ruling. Now, this gets into the concept of genetic manipulation, right? So when you alter this thing, it's no longer technically nature. So they've ruled, and I play this clip at the end a lot, that this is now patentable. And now we begin to see this waterfall of, and they call it a genetic gold mine. Like there's genetic miners out there trying to find things to patent, plants, human pieces of DNA, and on and on and on and on, if they can manipulate it. Right? So keeping that in mind, it goes on to say, the case that provides the blueprint for pharmaceutical companies claiming ownership of your genes is Association for Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics, Inc., 569 U.S. 567, 2013, which I found right here. I only highlighted one part here. And again, this is what I think what's his name says in that clip that I'll play at the end. A naturally occurring DNA segment is a product of nature and not patent eligible merely because it has been isolated, but cDNA is patent eligible because it is not naturally occurring. Right. And the idea is that this is something I'll read to you in this article here, where they get into the idea of these different variations that thing, and you can see it right here, where they can. And this creates a loophole of being able to patent things that are technically natural as long as there's some kind of a manipulation. Now, it says the company isolated the location. Yeah. Oh, also, Myriad Genetics. Remember Myriad Genetics. We're going to talk about that next. The company isolated the location and sequence of naturally occurring genes called BRCA1 and BRCA2. This is in regard to cancer and ovarian, breast cancer, and things like that. Now, the mutations in these genes positively correlate with predispositions to breast and ovarian cancers. Myriad, the company, filed patents on these genes in 1994 and 1995, respectively. Right? So they tried to own this thing that could help a lot of people, arguably. The patents gave Myriad exclusive rights to cancer genetic testing that isolated natural DNA strands and created synthetic complementary DNA, or cDNA, that resembled the original isolated strands. So here you go. So they created something, basically a reproduction of this, so that's not natural, but it is, though. So this is this weird loophole, but this is what created this massive turn in where this was all going. Now, it says the USPTO granted both patents in 1998. At least 2,000 other human genes had been patented through 2010. Human genes, according to the New York State Bar. But the Myriad patents hindered other scientists from doing research on naturally occurring BRCA1 and BRCA2, which doesn't make sense because that's not the natural is obviously the one that you can't patent, but yet they're claiming that you can't use that, even though you want to make something to help people because we own the patent on that thing because we recreated it. And thus hindered breast and ovarian cancer testing by other companies, right? Because again, because those companies care about your best interest, right? That's never the case. Several plaintiffs, including Yale, Columbia, individual patients, and patient advocacy groups, filed a lawsuit against Myriad and the University of Utah in May of 2009. The plaintiffs argued that the BRCA1 and BRCA2 are not patent eligible subject matter under 35 USC Section 101 because they are naturally occurring. Myriad argued that it had isolated and sequenced of the DNA and that the patent office had issued patents for other companies doing the same thing. So typical government response, well, other guys are doing it, right? The federal circuit, this thing always rolls up, there we go. The federal circuit twice affirmed that both isolated DNA and cDNA are patentable. So now they're saying, well, just, as long as you isolate this DNA specifically, even though you didn't recreate it, now you can patent that too. But that goes against what everyone else has ruled. Ultimately, the Supreme Court ruled that only cDNA, the synthetic DNA, is patentable. Isolated natural DNA is not. That was the final ruling, and that's where it left. So the point is, did they find a way around that? Myriad did not create or alter any of the genetic information encoded in the BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes. The location and order of the nucleotides existed in nature before Myriad found them. As Supreme Court made clear, neither naturally occurring compositions of matter nor synthetically created compositions that are structurally identical to the naturally occurring compositions are patent eligible. So you see, this is where it ended. Where now they're going, well, you can't even just recreate it. You have to genetically alter it or change it in some way. So it says, in a nutshell, biotechnology companies can own living things if said things are genetically modified and not naturally occurring. So this brings us to the point of whether or not, as she says, if this thing is actually going inside and manipulating your body or forever changing your genetic makeup, your genetic expression, does that, I mean, look, just read this again. Further evidence supports controversial claim that SARS-CoV-2 genes can integrate with human DNA. Okay, so if that then enters your genome, does that not then arguably based on the Supreme Court ruling that they do possibly, or they could argue at the very least, that they own you? It's clearly happening right now. It's happening with animals, plants, even human DNA. So why would we think it's a far stretch to say that now you are owned because they can prove that you, right? Of course, this would be a big, crazy scenario where they would just argue that just on sheer merit or common sense that you can't apply that to a human, but who knows where this would go. In any case, they found very quickly that they were being pushed back against when they tried to patent humans or human elements. So is this possibly a way around that? Honest question. Seeing as how now they can go, oh, well, this is genetically modified and it's in your DNA. So now that's something we can work with. Or at the very least, using your DNA, which under this law, well, they would then now be allowed to use, right? Interesting. Well, here is the U.S. Supreme Court striking down this patent on 2013, specifically on human, where they're trying again to get human gene patents. Like, they understand how many times and how long they've been trying to do this. Please don't miss the relevance on what's happening today and what they're doing today. Even the things, the secret slimy things like the 23andMe, where they very clearly were harvesting all of your information for things that people still don't fully grasp, I would argue. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2013 that, quote, naturally occurring human genes cannot be patented because they are a product of nature, meaning that they cannot be claimed as human invention. But it also permitted patents based on laboratory reconstructions of human DNA, known as complementary DNAs or cDNAs. Now, this change, remember, this is what the final ruling was, that it had to be different in some way. Myriad did not create anything, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote for a unanimous court. To be sure, it found an important and useful gene, but separating that gene from its surrounding genetic material is not an act of invention. It was defeated for the diagnostic firm Myriad Genetics. Okay, so we have a very clear timeline path going all the way back to the early days when this was starting, right, where Myriad was involved, trying to push this through, trying to patent things that they shouldn't be patenting. Patenting, that's hey, that way that sounds. But so now in 2013, here's Myriad Genetics again, trying to force through a patent for human genetics, for human genes, even though they've continually ruled that's not supposed to be the case. So it's clearly something that they're aggressive about. The impact of the decision was on other companies that may depend on exactly how gene patents claims are worded. While the court ruled out natural DNA patents, it also permitted cDNA patents. Although cDNA retains the naturally occurring exons of DNA, it is distinct from the DNA from which it was derived. I technically probably should have read this before the other one, but the part with Myriad is what I want that to be read there. But realize that the final ruling was that that has to be genetically different in some way. Now, Myriad, however, found a silver lining in the part of the court's decision that will continue to allow patents on cDNAs. And this is that kind of sidestep we're talking about. Now, I hope you will read through these. Let's take a quick look to finish the show up here of Myriad today. All right, here's the executive team. Now, none of these are smoking guns. Maybe not all of them mean nothing. But to find a company like Myriad that's been, you know, on the cusp, chomping at the bit to be the first ones involved with patenting these things, which maybe is a reason why all this is happening, understanding that we're talking about this thing possibly creating the very justification for why they then would be allowed to patent these things, right? Let's look at the team itself. Right off the bat, president, CEO. Paul currently serves on the board of trustees at Johns Hopkins Medicine. Well, that's interesting, where he serves as chair of Johns Hopkins Healthcare. Right? Also, he was made the board director in August 13th, 2020. Isn't that interesting? Right? Right? It's telling. But going forward, executive vice president, international operations. Prior to Vertex, he was the general manager at Gilead Sciences, Germany. And all these classic usual suspects coming down here. I highlight some of these that aren't necessarily me. ATT, if that means, you know, you want to connect something there. St. Sinai School of Medicine at New York University, relevant. But here is the chief compliance officer, Acorn Pharmaceuticals. You'll find pharmaceutical companies being a common thread. Like, you'd think that there's plenty more applications for this than pharmaceuticals, but just be clear about it. This is the direction. That's where all this is going. This is about medical manipulation. That's how I would frame it. But for them, you know, biosecurity, the health security, that's what they're all building towards. But she also previously worked as vice president of Johnson & Johnson compliance. What do you know? Johnson & Johnson, right? Oh, that revolt, that crossing over. It's not like there's something going on. Ralph L. McDade, for the podcast, to say their names too. Clavetti Martinez was the one for Johnson & Johnson. Ralph L. McDade, president of Myriad, RBM. He was chief scientific officer for Luminex Corporation, which is this company, which creates and makes real-time PCR tests. Nothing weird there. Paul C. Parkinson, executive vice president, reimbursement strategy. Before joining Myriad, he served the management and managed care leadership at Pfizer. That's crazy. Just what a happy little family, you know? Finally, Mark S. Veretti, president, Myriad Neuroscience, senior leadership position with Forest Pharmaceuticals, right? So there's clearly a push. There's a reason this is all driving in this direction. I find it to be painfully obvious, painfully clear that there's an agenda that's been going on for a long time. And whether this was just a perfect opportunity or something that was made to be the way it is, it leads in the same direction. And it's time that we put our foot down and stand up for what we actually believe in here, guys. It's coming in hot. We see it happening. And I believe that we are, in fact, making quite a strong difference. They are afraid of it. I truly believe that. I mean, it, you know, the fact that we can have so many people tuned in general to watch these things and have tens of thousands. I mean, the Michael Yeadon interview alone on BitChute right now has 130,000 views on BitChute, right? I mean, we have to realize that there is people that are thirsty for this stuff. And also on that note, Taylor Hudak has an interview that she's working on right now with Michelle Chavdovsky from Global Research, as well as Del Bigtree and a couple of others. So there's a lot more coming your way. And Whitney's working on an article as well that will be coming your way. And as always, Derek and Robert are working on stuff as well. A lot of information coming your way, guys, but continue to fight. Do not give up. Do not pretend that this is something that we cannot change. It may feel insurmountable, but change is always possible. And I believe that if the moment that we even think that we can't is when that will become the reality. My father used to always say something to me, and we can end on this. He used to say a lot of this classic fatherly things, but he would always say that, you know, Ryan, there's two ways to get to the top of an oak tree. You can sit on an acorn or you can start climbing. I'd like to start climbing. I'm not going to sit around and wait for things to happen to me. I'm trying to get there. Right? So help me, join me, and push back, guys. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
The Jacobardi case was one of the great judicial moments in world history, and the public was totally unaware it was actually happening as the process was being engaged. General Electric and Professor Jacobardi went to the patent office with a little microbe that eats up oil spills. They said they had modified this microbe in the laboratory, and therefore it was an invention. The patent office, the U.S. government, took a look at this, quote, invention, and they said, no way. The patent statutes don't cover living things. This is not an invention. Turned down. Then General Electric and Dr. Jacobardi appealed to the U.S. Customs Court of Appeal. And to everyone's surprise, by a 3-2 decision, they overrode the patent office. We bring good things to life. And they said, this microbe looks more like a detergent or a reagent than a horse or a honeybee. I laughed because they didn't understand basic biology. It looked like a chemical to them. Had it had an antenna or eyes or wings or legs, it would never have crossed their table and been patented. Then the patent office appealed. And what the public should realize now is the patent office was very clear that you can't patent life. My organization, provided the main amicus curiae brief. If you allow the patent on this microbe, we argued, it means that without any congressional guidance or public discussion, corporations will own the blueprints of life. When they made the decision, we lost by 5-4, and Chief Justice Warren Burger said, sure, some of these are big issues, but we think this is a small decision. 7 years later, the U.S. Patent Office issued a one-sentence decree. You can patent anything in the world that's alive except a full-birth human being. We've all been hearing about the announcement that we have mapped the human genome, but what the public doesn't know is now there's a great race by genomic companies and biotech companies and life science companies to find the treasure in the map. The treasure are the individual genes that make up the blueprint of the human race. Every time they capture a gene and isolate it, these biotech companies claim it as intellectual property. The breast cancer gene, the cystic fibrosis gene, it goes on and on and on. If this goes unchallenged in the world community, within less than 10 years, a handful of global companies will own directly or through license the actual genes that make up the evolution of our species. And they're now beginning to patent the genomes of every other creature on this planet. In the age of biology, the politics is going to sort out between those who believe life first has intrinsic value, and therefore we should choose technologies and commercial venues that honor the intrinsic value. And then we're going to have people who believe, look, life is simply a utility. It's commercial fare. And they will line up with the idea to let the marketplace be the ultimate arbiter of all of the age of biology.